check out our websites. BibleQuery.org. This site answers 7,700 Bible questions. HistoryCart.com. This site reveals early church history and doctrine, proving Roman Catholicism is not historically or doctrinally viable. MuslimHope.com. This site is a classic refutation of Islam, a counterfeit religion created by Muhammad. Free newsletters are also available.
Hello, this is Larry Wessels with just a quick message to our viewers to check out our main YouTube channel, See Answers TV, which stands for Christian Answers Television, where we have all of our over 610 videos posted. By going there, you can see all of our videos organized by playlist, categorized by subjects. Once you scroll down past our Bible prophecy trailer at the top of the channel page, the playlist begins. You'll see our recent uploads playlist, followed by our most popular videos playlist, followed by our playlist on Jehovah's Witnesses, then Islam, the Muslim religion, then Roman Catholicism, Darwin's metaphysical evolution religion, Seventh-day Adventism, dealing with anti-Trinitarians and early church history. Our multiple playlists, which includes God-hating atheists, phony TV preachers and King James onlyists, dealing with UFOs, ghosts, spiritual warfare. Our radio shows with national Christian authors and our music bids. The Black Muslims, Louis Farrakhan, and the Nation of Islam. Mormonism, hell, lake of fire, unpopular Bible doctrines, Antichrist, cults, New Age, and world religions. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, Jonathan Edwards, and Spanish videos, end times, supernatural prophecies, and tough Bible questions, and our playlist dealing with predestination, Arminianism, and Calvinism. Our YouTube channel is built to help people learn the Bible and defend their Christian faith against false prophets that come against it from every side, Jude verses 3 and 4. And now, for our main video presentation.
Eastern Orthodoxy. Is it spiritual life or spiritual death? That is an important question I put before you today, and it's really important for you if you're from an Eastern Orthodoxy background or from any background, is to know whether you really have everlasting life or whether your religion is just purely something that was handed to you and is not according to the scriptures. We have to examine this question of Eastern Orthodoxy with empathy and sympathy, because we know that there's many, many Orthodox people, be they Russian or Greek or whatever, and they have a real sincerity and devotion. We know that. But devotion and sincerity don't save. It's truth, and we have to measure everything in the light of biblical truth. The Apostle Paul said it so brilliantly clear, and it's so wonderful. We should read his exact words. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped for all good works. Scripture is wonderful for correction, for reproof, and examining doctrine to see is it really in line with God's truth in the Bible. In other words, we have God's truth and we cannot add or subtract to it. we submit to the Lord and love him as we align ourselves with his written truth. So I'd ask you, Stuart, if you could just begin the program and speak about orthodoxy.
Sure, Richard. Orthodox teachers such as former Russian Orthodox Archbishop Sergei Stragaritsky do not believe that God's word is enough. They insist on other sources that supposedly add to God's perfect word. In his work, The Orthodox Doctrine on Salvation, he writes, "We know that Jesus Christ brought to us first and foremost the new life and taught it to his apostles. The work of church tradition is to pass on not only the teaching of Christ, but also to pass on from generation to generation this life connected with Christ, to convey that which is not transmitted by spoken or written word, but only through the unmediated fellowship of people." Elsewhere, the Archbishop defines church tradition to include writings of the church fathers, along with subjective life experience, as so-called enhancements to God's word. There are two problems with this teaching, though. Firstly, it directly contradicts the clear teaching of Holy Scripture, as you just read, Richard, that God's word is perfect. It leaves the man of God equipped for all good works, firstly. And second of all, Orthodox teachers themselves disagree as to which traditions are valid. One example, look at the ongoing discussion about which calendar should Orthodox churches be using. Is it the Gregorian? Is it the Julian? Is it some modified version? So forth. So now I'll turn it back to you, Richard, and let me ask you a question. Let's examine the issue of salvation specifically, and what does God's word have to say about it, and how does that contrast with orthodoxy?
Yes, the word of God is explicitly clear when it comes to salvation, and it's the major, major fact in Scripture. How can a man be right with God is the essential question that you and I have to ask, and that each one of us has to wrestle with. It's so beautifully explained by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And we should know this verse, and we should have it deep in our heart, because here is the message of salvation. It tells you how you are to be right with God. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." It says it positively and negatively. It's God's grace. It's his graciousness. It's true faith. It's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. And it puts it negative. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. None of us can boast. For all people who have received the gift of faith, who truly trust on Christ Jesus alone, and faith itself is the gift of God. We see that grace is God's love for us. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." It shows his motivation and love for his people. And we are undeserving, because we are, in the words of same Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, dead in trespasses and sins. We are utterly spiritually dead. We may be physically alive, as we all are, but we're spiritually dead. And lest anyone should boast, no one can boast. God reveals himself as love, and that's in the letter to the that John wrote to the churches, 1 John. He talks about God is love. It's his very nature. The Father's is love. And he loves us who are dead in trespasses and sins, that we may become spiritually alive in him. Praise his holy name.
So Eastern Orthodoxy teaches that grace is imparted through a person's participation in what's called the so-called holy mysteries, sometimes also known as sacraments. In fact, to this day, different Orthodox groups disagree as the numbers and number and types of holy mysteries. Historian Ernst Benz elaborates on this point. For example, Pseudo-Dionysius the Areopagite, who's a renowned Orthodox teacher of the 6th century, lists 6 sacraments in his work on the ecclesiastical hierarchy. They include baptism, the Eucharist, anointing with oil, ordination of the priests, tonsure, that is to become a monk, and rites for the dead. 2 centuries later, John of Damascus mentions only 2 sacraments, baptism and the Eucharist, or communion. In 1274, at the Council of Lyon, Greek theologians, who at that time were discussing the possibility of uniting with the Church of Rome, decided the number of sacraments to be 7: baptism, confirmation, Eucharist, penance, ordination, marriage, and unction for the sick.
Yes, they hold to these things. It's similar to my own background in Romanism, that we had 7 sacraments, and we were believing in these sacraments to bring us to salvation. And it's the Eastern Orthodox call it mysteries or sacraments, and mysteries is the more popular word, as we know, with Orthodoxy. But believing on mysteries is never the message in Scripture. It's never the message. It's believing on the person of Christ Jesus. It's, for example, the Apostle Paul says with Silas in Acts 16 and 31, believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. It's believe on the person, believe on the Lord Jesus. Faith is God-given, as the Apostle Peter said, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's true. The righteousness of God has been up. We have obtained it. It's therefore it's God's gift to us. It's God given, and it's we who are dead in sins obtain it from God. The very faith comes from God, and it's summarized in the Scripture. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. That's Romans chapter 10, verse 17. We hear the word of God. So it's no church, no church saved, no ritual of any church. It is the person of Jesus Christ. Look to the person. Only the person saves, no ritual. So it's neither baptism or confirmation or any of these rituals like the tonsure in Eastern Orthodoxy or all the other things. It's not. It's all of faith, and it's beautifully summarized. And in Romans 10, it says, the word is nigh even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. You will not be ashamed as you trust on the Lord alone. That is a glorious message. It's all of God and not of us. It's so profound that it is so profound that it's awesome. We praise God for his gift to us. He is the cause, we are the recipients. Praise his holy name.
So God teaches us about mysteries in the Scriptures. Mysteries are not mere physical rites. Indeed, in the Scriptures, mysteries are truths that God has revealed to believers through his Son, Jesus Christ, and were hidden to people who had lived before Jesus' earthly ministry when he was incarnated as a human being. Mysteries also are truths not revealed to those who refuse to believe in Jesus Christ as for who he is. Jesus explains this to his disciples in Matthew 13, verses 10 and 11, where it says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speak thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So we see that Jesus Christ speaks of revealing truth that was previously hidden, thus the mysteries, to the disciples who believe in him. He mentions nothing about physical rites, but rather Jesus is speaking about the realities of the kingdom of heaven.
The sad thing is that Eastern Orthodox people look to what they call mysteries, meaning the sacraments, the different rituals that they do for salvation. They look to these rituals for salvation. And they are empty and they don't deliver. I remember seeing that. I was into the priesthood when I in Rome, where I was looking to sacraments, and I saw that people whom I gave absolution to came back week after week with the same sins. I saw the immorality of the people, even those who came to communion in the Catholic Church. I knew the immorality of the younger people, even those in our choir. It's the same in Orthodoxy, that people do these rituals, they're not transforming, they do not change lives. Lives go on and people are spiritually dead, and they may love the rituals and boast about them, but that doesn't do anything, because it comes back to that truth that we already expressed. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. The very faith is the gift of God. It is just the wonder of what it is that we should know this truth, and that it's not of works, and no one can boast. Saving faith is from God, it's in Christ Jesus. It's not in us, it's in Him. We're accepted in the Beloved, as it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. And it is in Him, and we praise His name. And we remember that it is the will of God that we should do this. This is the will of God, the will of Him that sent me, Jesus said. That everyone who sees the Son and believes on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. That's in John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 40. It's God's will of the one who sent Jesus Christ, that everyone who sees the Son may believe on Him. And the big question for you, do you believe on Him? And believe on Him alone, and not substitute any ritual or any church. And it's not of works, lest anyone should boast. We boast only in the grace of God, that He should save a wretch like me. I know I'm very, very conscious of that, very conscious of how wretched I was before the Lord caught up with me. And it was, it is the wonder of His grace. That is what we look to, and we praise His name for that.
Yes, so regarding an orthodox understanding of faith, the Russian Archbishop Sergei Stragoretsky disputes the teaching of Holy Scripture that only God can grant faith to some and not to others on page 43 of his book. Instead, he speculates that God searches out in each person's heart a mere hint of goodness in the midst of their rebellion, after which God grants them faith. In other words, Sergius claims that man is not totally depraved, or in utter rebellion to submit to the rule of the all-holy God.
It's said in Scripture, even in the Old Testament, it was emphasized even before the Lord came, the prophet Isaiah, who foretells so much of grace that was to come. He tells of the uselessness of our own righteousness. In Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, it says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness is as filthy rags." All the good things we do in the sight of God is worthless when it comes to saving us. Not worthless in themselves, but when it comes to trying to gain some recognition or merit before God, it's worthless. It's as filthy rags. And it is indeed that man boasts only in God, that we who are dead in sins are found of God. Scripture says it also so clearly in Romans chapter 3. It is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understand, there's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way, and together become unprofitable. There's none that do good, not one." No, not one. Not one. There's no one can boast. Scripture is emphatic. And this is the message we have to see, and that It is God who has ordained it so that it is that we would become like unto Christ and be made the heirs of the kingdom. I'd like to read again, read for the first time, it's Romans 8 and it's 29 to 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Whom he did predestinate, them also he called. Them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. The wonder of it all, even the final, when we are glorified, is here spoken about, when we reach heaven and we're glorified and made like unto him more and more, even in our physical body, our glorified body in the time of the resurrection. It's all God's plan, and so beautifully laid out there in Romans chapter 8 verses 29 to 30. And then we must discuss later on the third aspect of that comes in, another aspect. After we are saved and we have been justified, how we are sanctified, we will come to that later on.
Yeah, and Richard, I was hearing you about glorification, and also I just not only think about the new body, just like what Jesus Christ has, but also the fact that we will no longer have any temptation to sin. And about justification, before we talk about what the Orthodox teach on that and how they look at justification, just a quick reminder, justification is the idea of Christ bearing our sins on the cross in our place for the believer in him, and Christ imputing his righteousness to us, to those who believe in him, not because we did anything to deserve it, but because of God's grace, his love, his mercy, and giving us the gift of faith, as you talked about earlier with Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Now I want to talk a little bit about how the Orthodox look at justification. In contrast to the wonderful things that you've been sharing about saving faith, Archbishop Sergius, along with other Orthodox teachers, pretty much dismissed the importance of God giving a person justification. This is a quote from an official Serbian Orthodox teaching from a book called What Do Orthodox Christians Believe? It states, justification is not given once and for all, nor is it a guarantee of eternal salvation, but it depends on how a man will live righteously or sinfully in the future. There exists no such thing judicially that instantly converts a sinful person into a righteous one. Now that's interesting, because the Bible is saying something completely different. What does God have to say about it? Well, there's numerous passages in Holy Scripture that demonstrate true Christians believe in justification and thus can be assured of their eternal salvation with God now. Not only do true Christians believe in justification, God believes in justification because he imputes it. Two examples include John 5:24, where Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Jesus later says in John 10:28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." What wonderful words from Jesus Christ about, you know, the assurance that one, a believer, can have in God's perfect work through him for the believer.
Yes, and now we come to good works. We're not ruling out good works, but we're not saved by good works. We're saved unto good works. And that's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're saved unto good works. We're saved unto good works. It is the product of our salvation. We know that we're saved because we see the good works that we now do, which we didn't do beforehand, before we were saved. And we know the love, joy, and peace, the fruits of the Spirit, which we did not know. That was particular so in my case, but I've talked to other believers who had no peace whatsoever with God or even themselves hadn't peace with themselves until they were saved. And then we have love, joy, peace, and we have self-control, and we have this, the joy of the Spirit within us. And it's like the one that the example given, that the apple tree bears apples because it's an apple tree, and it's not the apples that make the tree, but the tree that makes the apple. It is it's the nature of it. We're saved unto good works, and we just pray and thank the Lord for this is so that we are dead unto sins in the word of Scripture. Likewise, reckon yourselves also to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is from Romans 6, going into from 9, going on to verse 10, and that it is that we would reign in with Christ. The exact words there of verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should be obey it in the lusts thereof. It's not that we would let lust dominate us, but we would reign in righteousness through Jesus Christ, with his righteousness imputed to us, living by the power of his life, complete in him who is the head of all principality and power, as the Apostle Paul also says. And this is the wonder, as our love grows and our love for our neighbor and the love for those around us, we see it. Those are the fruits that we were saved unto, and we praise God's holy name, for that is a reality of our lives.
Amen. And again, let's be clear. Good works do not save a person. A person dead in sin cannot placate God's wrath with good works. Only God's grace through faith, about which we have no right to brag or no basis to say we deserved it, only God's grace through faith can put a person in right relationship with God. I'd also add one thing. After a person is saved, after he's justified, it's not just that God says, here are some rules, good luck in following them. No, he sends his Holy Spirit to come and help us. Not just to know what he wants of us, not just to fight against sin on our own, but he gives us the power and the victory of the Holy Spirit to be sanctified. You know, as Philippians 3 talks about, God works in us, the believers. It's clear that Orthodox teachers have misunderstood salvation in contrast to what God really teaches. These Orthodox teachers deny a true understanding of humankind. They deny our total rebellion against responding even to God's mercy, as well as denying God's infinite mercy in general, that only that mercy of God can save us from start to finish. So we've discussed some of the specific areas of what the Bible teaches, what God says, how he saves a person. And we've contrasted that with what Eastern Orthodoxy teaches. In Orthodoxy, a person guilty of sin cannot find peace and forgiveness with the all-holy God. The fact is, Eastern Orthodoxy teaches a false gospel that leads to spiritual death. Richard and I would ask that you look to the Lord your God for his gift of faith, which he wants to give. He's loving and faithful, and he will answer you if you cry out to him.
Yes, I remember that in my own life. It was back in September in 1985, where I realized that I was spiritually dead. And it was frightening. And I really got literally on the carpet in the little house where I lived, and I cried out to God to give me the gift of faith. To give me the gift of faith, and then to activate that faith by his grace. And I cried out, God in heaven, do this. And it was after 3 or 4 minutes that I sensed the grace of God within me, and I put my hands up to heaven and I said, Father in heaven, I thank you that you've given me faith and grace, and that now I have peace with you and peace with myself. And may I live with this peace in the love for your people all the days of my life. And this is what we have tried to do today, is to show love for you as you listen to this program. that you would have that peace with God yourself, and that you would know. And particularly if you're from an Eastern Orthodox background, that we would hear from you, because we make this program with love and kindness and empathy. Both Stuart and myself have come from what we know when we were before the Lord saved us, so it's not as if we were we are alien to what it is to be living in rituals and living away from God. So let us hear from you. It'd be lovely to hear from you, and you will see on your screen my email address, and it is richardmbennett@yahoo.com, and it'd be lovely to hear from you. If there's a little delay in replying, know that I get many emails and it takes a while sometimes to get there, but it'd be lovely to hear from you. And we have an Eastern Orthodoxy website on our website, so you'll see that URL there on your screen, and touch it and see there's many more aspects of Greek Orthodoxy that we have not discussed here, but needs to be read and studied. So it has been wonderful to share with you, and I thank you, Stuart, for pouring out your heart, and we just look forward to hearing from you, and may the Lord be glorified and souls saved to the praise of the glory of his grace.
If you would like a free newsletter on this or other subjects, just give us a call at Christian Answers. The phone number is area code 512-218-8022. That's 512-218-8022. Or you could email us at cdebater@aol.com. That's cdebater@aol.com. Thank you.
Hello, this is Larry Wessels, Director of Christian Answers of Austin, Texas, Christian Debater Ministries. I'm pleased to introduce to my audience a dear brother in the Lord, Richard Bennett, Director of Berean Beacon Ministries, an outreach to Roman Catholics.
It is great to be here, Larry.
For people that don't know you, you were a Roman Catholic priest for 22 years, is that right? Please give us a short account of your life.
Yes, I was a Catholic priest for 22 years. I was a Catholic altogether for 48 years, having grown up in Dublin, Ireland. I was trained very early on in my education, in what we call secondary and elementary education, by the Jesuits. And then I decided to become a Catholic priest, and I spent 8 years in preparation. It was a novitiate year, and then 6 years to ordination when I was ordained a priest in Dublin, Ireland in 1963, and then 1 year in Rome, 8 years in all. Then I spent 21 years in Trinidad, West Indies as a parish priest, carrying out the work of a priest. I had the best academic training you could get, finishing up in the city of Rome itself near the Vatican, and I really had a desire to bring Catholics to what we thought was a way of being right with God, so that they could get to purgatory, and then that they finally could get to heaven. And I was great for doing penances and sacrifices, and then I was very devout in Trinidad, baptizing babies, hearing people's confessions, and doing all the sacraments. It was in 1972, I had a very serious accident where I was 3 days unconscious after the serious accident. And then after that time, when I got out of the hospital in a sanatorium, I began searching in the Bible for what is truth. It took me 14 years of comparing the Bible to Catholicism before I realized that I was dead in trespasses and sins, and it was by grace alone that we are saved. One night I got on the floor in my house and I cried out to God for faith and his grace to save a wretch like me, dead in trespass and sins, and he gloriously did that. It was about 2 months afterwards I very reluctantly left the Catholic Church, because my prayer after I was right with God by biblical salvation was that I could really love Catholics and give them the real true gospel of grace, that is grace alone, faith alone, and in Christ alone. But then in prayer over those 2 months after I was saved, the Lord showed me that I could best serve Him and love Catholics if I left actually the priesthood and the Catholic Church and reached out to Catholics nonetheless. And I did that. I left the priesthood in 1985 and reached the States in 1986. And I just prayed and prayed that I would have a love for Catholics to reach out. I thank the Lord that after 1 year as a missionary in China, I was able to start the ministry that I now have called BereanBeacon.org. It is to show Catholics the real truth of where salvation is in a person, not in any church. And it is by God's grace, not by any ritual that any church does. So this has been really wonderful. I've seen priests save. I saw 2 priests in Poland, you know, through our ministry. We have a Polish webpage, besides many other languages, and of course in English. And I thank God that I have seen God's grace poured out, and that is my heart's desire, Larry, that Catholics would know the truth and that evangelicals in this very false ecumenical age would see the differences. I have a very interesting article on the webpage, Are Catholics Christians? And we've had tremendous response to that, evangelicals whose eyes have been opened in reading that article. So it's with love for Catholics and to show the truth of Christ Jesus that God will be glorified and many, many souls saved, particularly Catholics, to the glory of His name.
Outstanding. That was a wonderful testimony, Richard. Could you just real briefly tell us about, you've written some books, and you've already mentioned your ministry, but what are these books you've written, and how can people find them?
Yes, I have written or edited, written some and edited others, and they have been amazing. I just thank God. Our most well-known book is Far From Rome, Near to God, The Testimonies of 50 Converted Catholic Priests. Since 1994, that book has sold steadily across the world in English and in other languages, and it's on the 3rd edition now. And the other book that has my heart really displayed and my love for Catholics is the book I've written about Catholicism called Catholicism, East of Eden, Insights into Catholicism for the 21st Century. This book is published by Banner of True Trust, like the book of the 50 Testimonies of Former Priests. And I thank God for that, because the Lord has used that book and it brought many Catholics to Himself by that book. The other book that my heart was in editing together with Mary Hertel is a book called The Truth Set Us Free, 20 Former Nuns Tell Their Stories. And that book has been used mightily of the Lord as well. And I thank God for those women, most of whom are still alive and active in reaching out to Catholics themselves. And it is just a wonderful testimony of God's grace. And the other book I've written is called On the Wings of Grace Alone. I've edited that. And that is just 30 ordinary Catholics and what we call lay Catholics, and how the Lord brought them to salvation. And that is an amazing book too. How can you obtain these books? Well, go to our webpage, BereanBeacon.org, and just go to the folder on the left-hand side, Books, and when you click on that, it gives all the details of how you can get those books.
Outstanding. Well, Richard, we're going to go into showing people your videos now here across particularly our audience on YouTube. But many people don't know that you and me go to the same church here in Austin, Texas. So it gives me a special opportunity to be around you a lot just so we can do ministry work. But anyway, I want to thank you for allowing us to post your videos on the internet through YouTube and other internet servers.
You praise God, and may souls be saved and the Lord glorified. Amen and amen.
Amen.